filling the air with bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News, Lynette Alice Frohm, guilty as charged. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Details from correspondent Murray Frompson in Sacramento.
Lynette Frohm has been convicted of trying to assassinate President Ford last September in Sacramento. The verdict was unanimous, as required by law. The eight-woman, four-man jury deliberated more than 19 hours. Ms. Frohm would not remain in the courtroom to hear the verdict. She was let out after Judge Thomas McBride refused to allow her to read a statement. Later, the 27-year-old defendant returned to court to demand a tape recorder to use during her probationary hearing. The judge refused, saying she'd be treated no differently than other prisoners. Everybody who has to go through these courts and prisons should be treated better, Ms. Frohm declared. Sentencing was set for December 17th. She could receive life imprisonment. Ms. Frohm's attorney said the verdict would be appealed. For the past day, the jurors seemed deadlocked, unable to decide whether to vote for attempted assassination or the lesser charge of assault. Again, 19 and a half hours after beginning its deliberations, the jury in the Lynette Frohm trial has found her guilty of trying to kill the President of the United States. Murray Frompson, CBS News, Sacramento.
More news in a minute.
Share a ride with a friend. Share a smile when you're round the bend. Let somebody brighten up your day.
Share a ride with a friend. Drive together and the time you spend will speed along as you go your way.
Double up every morning. Double up going home at night. Double up every day. It's a better way. We're gonna have more fun together.
Jackie went on vacation yesterday, so I had to drive into work by myself for the first time in I don't know how long. It seemed like it took forever. I even missed Jackie's bad jokes. And you know, I'd forgotten what it costs to drive these days. I sure will be glad when these 2 weeks are over.
Double up every morning. Double up going home at night. Double up every day.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
Several congressional leaders are predicting the federal aid plan for New York City, announced Wednesday night by President Ford, will win swift legislative approval. But Senator James Allen of Alabama, a Democratic conservative, says he still intends to mount a filibuster against it. The president announced in a news conference he would support a plan to provide the city with a federal line of credit of up to $2.3 billion a year for the next 3 years. To retain some semblance of federal control over the city's affairs, the president said the city would have to pay off the loan and interest at the end of each year to be eligible for a new line of credit the following year. President Ford also told newsmen Wednesday night he would be prepared to go along with a limited new inquiry into the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
There are some new developments, not evidence, but new developments that, according to one of our best staff members, who's kept up to date on it more than I, that he thinks just to lay those charges aside, that a new investigation ought to be undertaken. If those particular developments could be fully investigated without reopening the whole matter that took us 10 months to conclude, I think some responsible group or organization ought to do so.
The president said he would not favor a wide open inquiry into aspects of the case already investigated by the Warren Commission. Mr. Ford was a member of that commission. An American Airlines jet made an emergency landing in Detroit Wednesday night after the pilot made a violent flight maneuver to avoid a collision with another plane. 25 passengers and crew were injured, none seriously. A policeman describing the inside of a plane as looking like a cyclone hit it. The other plane was a TWA flight from Philadelphia to Los Angeles. A TWA spokesman said the plane was on course and not aware of the incident. Kurt Waldheim, the Secretary General of the UN, has indicated he's optimistic for the first time about extending the mandate of the UN Peace Observer Force in the Golan Heights. Now this.
It's
It's almost Christmas 1975, but Bing Crosby recalls a Christmas years ago.
Now, I always wanted a flexible fryer, but never could afford one. And I kept asking my parents for it, but they couldn't spend money on such things as fancy sleds. And lo and behold, on Christmas morning when I came downstairs, there was the flexible fryer. And I took the sled up to Ledgerwood Hill, and I just coasted down all afternoon, and I made a very big hit with my girlfriend that day.
The man who made White Christmas famous remembers a personal holiday on one of 30 special broadcasts, December 6th and 7th. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News, anchorman for American Christmas Down the Years. Along with the personal recollections of Bob Hope, William Manchester, James Michener, and others, we'll recall Christmas at Valley Forge, Yuletide in the Depression, the Fabulous 50s, American Christmas Down the Years, our next bicentennial weekend special, December 6th and 7th on the CBS Radio Network.
Writer Thomas Kiernan of New York is busily trying to reconstruct his inside biography of Bebe Rebozo. It's been revealed thieves broke into Kiernan's apartment early in the month, ignoring valuables to steal instead nearly 400 manuscript pages of the book and vital research material on Rebozo. Says Kiernan's publisher, somebody's good and nervous about that biography. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for variable cloudiness and cool with chance of a few showers Thanksgiving Day and Friday. The highs in the mid-40s tomorrow, lower 40s on Friday, and lows in the upper 30s. And in downtown Seattle, it's currently 46 degrees, 44 at the airport. The barometer rising, it reads 29.67. Taking a look at sports, in the National Basketball Association, the Seattle Supersonics did it again. They beat Boston by 1 point, 110 to 109. Detroit over Kansas City, 120 to 104. Houston, 97, Washington, 85. Atlanta down New Orleans, 113 to 108. Phoenix beat Buffalo, 107 to 106. In the ABA, it was St. Louis, 98, Indiana, 94. San Antonio defeated Virginia, 141 to 122. Kentucky beat Denver, 115 to 107. CBS Radio Mystery Theater
presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. One of the perpetual mysteries in life is explored in a game of solitaire. During moments of reflection, haven't you sometimes wondered, what if I hadn't been there at that particular moment? Or what if I had been? What would have happened if I'd been there with someone else? Or if no one was there to help me? Would the same thing have happened under different circumstances? Or would everything be changed if... This is the game that is played in our mystery drama.
Goodbye, Dave. Boy, am I glad to see you open your eyes. You mean hello, don't you?
No. I heard what they said.
What who said?
I don't know. Those voices. They said... I didn't have a prayer.
You dreamed it, my friend. You've been unconscious for hours.
Where are we?
In the base hospital.
I'm going to die.
Sure. We're all going to die someday. But not this time around. You just lie still, old buddy. You can tell me later how it feels to have my blood in your veins.
Mystery drama, Fateful Reunion, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elizabeth Pennell and stars Robert Dryden and Jennifer Harmon. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Listerine Lozenges. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You've worked hard to get where you are, and now would be a very good time to give yourself a little pat on the back in the form of Buick Electra, a car filled with room, luxury, comfort, the perfect place for you and your free spirit to get together. Buick Electra. Think of it as recognition for a job well done.
This is Anita Bryant. Performing is a very exciting part of my life, and I also love coming home to a caring husband and four active, growing children. I count being a wife and mother as one of my most challenging opportunities. I'm glad to be a wife, and I feel good being a mother.
You are a worthwhile person. Cultivate your God-given talents as you choose your lifestyle. This affirmation of women shared by the Mennonite churches.
In God we trust. America speaks. Abraham Lincoln's creed. I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads. I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right. Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Our opening scene took place more than 30 years ago, when two very young draftees, as members of the Allied Expeditionary Forces, were forcibly thrown together in the landing on that beach at Normandy. Since then, their bonds of friendship have never been broken. Now, middle-aged men, they have gone their separate ways. But over the years, one solemn promise has always been kept. No matter what's going on in their lives or where they are, they meet for a reunion on June 6th, D-Day.
I thought I was a goner that time for sure. You saved my life, David.
Blood saved your life. If it hadn't been mine, it would have been someone else's.
Oh, but you were my buddy.
Damn right I was. After you'd saved my life, hanging upside down with my parachute all tangled up in that tree, I must have looked pretty funny.
You did.
I thought you'd never find your pocket knife.
Well, raise the glass. Happy 31st reunion. Ah, good Lord, Dave, what's happened to time? Can you believe that many years have gone by?
In some ways, I can.
An awful lot has happened.
How have things been going with you in this past year, Gary?
Oh, can't complain. Lucy's a jewel, as always. Although I realize I won't have her much longer.
Nonsense. She and Doug will be living here in New York, won't they?
Oh, speaking of New York, it was darn nice of you to make the trip here this year.
Great for me, too. Chance to visit the big city, see my son.
Hi, gentlemen.
And your charming daughter.
Uncle David, how good to see you.
Oh, don't I get one, too?
Of course, Dad. Guess I'm supposed to say Happy D-Day, but I'm not going to.
Oh, what's wrong with a couple of old army pals getting together?
Everything.
Now, don't knock it, Lucy. Without our yearly get-togethers, you, my dear daughter, would never have met a certain young man who happens to be my best friend's son.
I give up.
Incidentally, where is my son?
Oh, I meant to tell you. He's working late. I'm going to meet him at the office, and while you two are having your own party, we're going to one. But not in honor of D-Day.
Well, I suppose other things did happen on this date.
Mm-hmm. Like last year when Doug and I got engaged. But please stay right where you are while I get dressed. Before you take off, I want to use you as guinea pigs.
Lucy, what in the world are you doing in that weird getup?
Can you guess what I'm supposed to be?
Well, the headgear and all those beads make you look like a gypsy.
Right. And what do you think I have under this striped scarf?
Well, if you're a gypsy, it must be a crystal ball.
Right again. Voila!
Why, that's no crystal ball. It's a computer.
Also correct. The 21st century's answer to the all-seeing eye of past, present, and future.
Yeah, I'll bet.
No, really. It's fabulous. Doug's been working on this for a long time.
Well, I know he works on computers, but why all the gypsy stuff?
Well, we're going to a fundraising thing where I'm supposed to tell fortunes. And believe me, our booth is going to bring in $1 million.
Well, I'll admit your costume is startling, but...
Not the costume, Dad. This gadget. You've never seen anything like it.
Looks like most calculators are small computers to me.
Oh, but it's not. This is a truth machine.
Oh, I see it has a tape. That's handy.
Show us how it works.
Well, I'll have to put on the big act. Ah, mighty computer. It is Madame Lucy who calls you. Reach into your fabulous brain and tell us true whatever we want to know.
Get a load of that phony act.
Yeah.
The gentleman to my right, tell us his first name, color of his eyes, and the color of his hair. Take a look at that.
Name, David. Eyes blue-green, color of hair gray. Why, that's amazing.
Let's see that tape.
The gentleman to my left. First name, color of eyes, and color of hair, if you please.
Well, I'll be darned. Name, Gary. Color of eyes, Hazel. Hair, question mark?
I'll ask that again. Color of his hair, if you please.
It's got your number, Gary. The tape says, the man is bald.
Oh, that's very funny. The whole thing's a frame-up. Obviously, Lucy's fed data into this machine.
Honestly, Dad, I have no idea how it works. It just always comes up with the right answer.
All right. Ask it where my home is, what I do for a living. Oh, I know. My wife's name. I'll bet it can't answer that.
The gentleman named David. Tell us, oh mighty one, what is his occupation? Where does he live? And what is the name of his wife? There you are. Mr. David is a bank president in Des Moines, Iowa. His wife's name is Jean.
I'll be darned. It's quite a trick.
I don't think there's any trick to it, Uncle David. This is different. It's your turn, Dad. Just try to stump it.
Okay. Here's something that machine would never know. Ask it the license plate number of my car.
What is the license plate number of my father's car?
The tape says 892NYX. Is that right, Gary?
Yeah, of course it's right. Now, I know this is a frame-up. You and Douglas got together and fetted answers to all the usual questions any fool would ask. It'll be great at your party if you know everybody there.
It isn't like that, Dad. Truly it isn't. Why, this computer can actually predict. No, not predict, but actually tell what will happen in the future.
Uh-huh. All right, let's test his brain power on that score.
ask where our reunion will be held next year.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mighty computer, where will Gary and David meet for their next D-Day reunion?
Here, I'll tear off the tape, and you read it, Dave.
What does it say?
It says, there will be no reunion next year.
Now I know it's a hoax.
I don't understand. How can you say that?
Well, I'm beginning to agree with you, Gary. Lucy, if you and Doug really didn't feed that computer bank, ask it why there'll be no reunion next year.
I will. Not that.
Well, what's the matter, Pat?
It's come out all gibberish. The machine must have jammed or something. I'll have to ask Doug to unscramble it.
Sounds mighty suspicious. I'll take that computer business up with my son tomorrow. Right now, can we drop you off in our cab?
No, thanks. Doug won't be through for another hour. Give me a big hug, both of you. I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Coming.
Oh, you certainly have a complicated lock on that door.
Oh, just security measures. We close up tight at 5:30. How are you, love?
Miserable.
Oh, what's that? Come on in for a minute.
I don't want to go through with any more of that computer thing tonight.
Honey, wait a minute. What's wrong?
First of all, open the bag and take out the computer.
All right.
I hate that black devil.
What? You hate this revolutionary piece of equipment which may have the potential of changing the course of the whole world?
I don't think anyone should look into the future. You can't change something that's destined to happen.
Well, who's talking about predestination?
You put those answers into that box, didn't you, Doug?
I helped put it together, if that's what you mean, but this particular computer is brand new. It goes way beyond anything I've ever worked on.
But you do know how it works.
Well, not exactly, no. That's why we're so excited. The damn thing actually seems to have a mind of its own.
Doug, you must stop experimenting with this monstrous thing.
Never. Lucy, I simply don't understand what's gotten into you. Hey... We've always been honest with one another, haven't we?
I always thought so, up till now.
Well, what's so different about now?
Oh, I don't pretend to know anything about computers, but I do know they can't think for themselves.
No, not exactly.
This computer was programmed to give certain answers, wasn't it?
It was fed thousands of facts and figures by a team of researchers, but we have no control over the choices its mechanical mind will make.
Don't you see how dangerous that is?
No, I don't.
Well, fortunately, our fathers both thought it was a hoax.
Oh. Something happened when you used the computer today, didn't it? Didn't it?
Oh, Doug. They wanted to know the answer to the question, where will they hold their reunion next year?
Oh, those old soldiers, wouldn't they just?
Don't laugh, Doug. You ask it that question. Go ahead, ask it.
Okay. Where will my dad and Lucy's dad hold their usual reunion next year?
Go ahead, Doug. Read what it says.
There will be no reunion next year. Huh. What do you know?
Don't you see? They said it was a frame-up. They accused us of collusion to try and keep them from having a D-Day meeting. Did you do it, Doug?
Lucy, I swear I had nothing to do with it. Oh, come on. There's nothing to get so upset about.
Only there is. Because they asked one more question. And I got an answer which I refused to accept.
All right. What was the question?
You ask it. Go ahead. Ask the machine why there will be no reunion.
Okay.
Well... Please, God. The answer won't be the same as it was the last time.
All right. Let's see. Oh, no. Oh, no. The tape says, because one of them will be dead.
So now you know why Lucy was so upset when she crumpled the tape and pretended it was nothing but gibberish. Well, perhaps that's all it really was. Computers have been known to get things mixed up, just the way people do. On the other hand, this computer may be right. One big difference between computers and people is the psychological effect an idea can have when it is implanted in the human brain. We'll learn more about that when I come back very soon with Act Two.
There's no place like Singer, no time like now to save.
And right now, you can save on Singer's famous zigzag machine. Sale price at just $119.95. It has a front drop-in bobbin and a built-in blind stitch to let you make hems that barely show. And it's on sale now, just
$119.95. There's no place like Singer.
Me. What's up, Doc?
Hi. I'm Mel Blanc, and that's just one of a thousand voices I do. That's why they asked me to tell you about Lemon Mint Listerine Lozenges.
They really soothe your throat when you have a cold.
And Listerine's anesthetic medicine helps give fast,
beep, beep,
temporary relief from minor sore throat pain. Lemon Mint Listerine Lozenges. No matter how many voices you've got, you've only got one throat.
So get Listerine Lozenges, folks.
Use only as directed.
Well, this is Beverly Sills. Did you know that of all the arts, music is the only one in which a blind person can participate freely in spite of blindness? However, even in music, the blind need special help in order to stand on an equal footing with the sighted. The Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians works to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation, a national nonprofit organization, urgently needs your financial help. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person and provide auditions, evaluations and counseling, scholarship aid, paid engagements for qualified musicians, and transcription of music into Braille. The foundation depends solely on the public for its support. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. If you know a musically gifted blind person who needs help, please contact the Louis Braille Foundation at area code 212-982-7290.
A computer can be a very useful tool if you're trying to balance the books or solve an abstract problem. And the idea of a computer which could figure out human problems seemed like an innovation to be highly desired. But right now, a young technologist is confronted with a whole new aspect of the mechanical brain. It is unsettling to be told by a doctor, a fortune teller, or even by a robot that someone dear to you is going to die.
You don't believe that, do you, Doug?
I don't want to believe it.
Well, somebody must want to frighten us. Somebody who fed data into that machine.
Honey, I keep telling you, this computer doesn't work like that. It has freedom of choice.
Well, so do I. And I will not accept the word of a thinking machine. Our fathers are still young. It isn't as though one of them were ill or is in any kind of danger.
Wait a minute. You're sure that neither your dad or mine saw what was on that tape?
They saw the tape about no reunion, but I tore up the other one.
Ah.
The tape that said one of them would be dead and pretended that there was no answer.
But there was an answer. And that means now we have to ask another question.
I don't want to hear anymore.
Lucy, we have to. We must find out so maybe we can prevent it from happening.
What question do you propose to ask?
I have to ask the computer to tell us which one will die.
I don't want to know.
Well, I do, and I'm going to find out.
Don't tell me.
Please don't tell me.
Well, look at that, will you? He's never done this before. Honey, please take your hands away from your ears and listen.
It was all a mistake, wasn't it?
I don't know. The tape says, I cannot tell you.
There, you see. It is a hoax.
No. This computer is programmed to respond. I'll make it tell me. Come on. Which one will it be? Which one?
It sounds angry.
No, I'm the one who's angry, and it better tell me this time.
I guess you better tell me what it says.
At least it apologized.
Come on, Doug. Computers don't...
The tape says, sorry, but I cannot answer your question.
Well, then, if it can't answer that one, it can't answer anything.
Uh-uh, that's not so. It's always given straight answers before. You know it has.
Sure, when it was fun and games.
All right, maybe we're taking this too seriously. I could be wrong, you know, about what a computer can do. Oh, good Lord, look how late it is. We promised to raise some money for a good cause.
Do you think I can still go through with it?
Sure. I mean, just sidestep any serious questions. You know what I mean? Pretend it is just a trick if you have to. There may be a lot more to this machine than anyone has dreamed of.
Taxi! Taxi!
You did say we're going to that place where the food's so good.
I hope it's still good. Haven't been there for years. Hey, cab!
Get in, Gary.
Thanks.
Hey, where to?
Hey, you know the restaurant, Monsieur Henry's?
Sure, fancy French place, otherwise known as Mr. Henry's.
Old times coming back. He reminded me of someone.
Yeah? Who?
That little French nurse, one with the big brown eyes.
Whatever made you think of her? Wait a minute. We're going in the wrong direction. He's taking us uptown.
Can't prove it by me. I never know north from south in New York.
Driver, where are you going?
Well, you said Monsieur Henry's, didn't you?
Yes, it's on 52nd Street.
I never heard of it being there. The only one I know is on East 86th Street.
Well, that's not where we want to go. Go back to 52nd between 5th and 6th.
Well, you should have told me sooner, mister, but there's a two-way street coming up. Maybe I can still make the light.
Watch out for that truck! Well, we lived through another close one. Cheers!
Cheers, I think. If that trailer truck had been going any faster... Well, you were sitting on the bad side.
Could have been me, could have been you, or both of us.
Yeah.
You know, I got to thinking about that computer thing.
So did I. Could have been telling us there'd be no reunion this year.
Well, here we are, though. So let's eat and count our blessings before this lucky day is over.
Madam Lucy, you were sensational.
Not much thanks to your marvelous computer. When the tapes came out blank, I had to make up the answer.
Well, you're a born fortune teller, that crazy computer. Almost as if it refused to operate because I'd insulted it. Okay, tomorrow, back to the drawing board.
Hey, I have an idea. Let's pick up our dads. They've had enough time to hash over the old war stuff.
All right, do you know where they are?
Turn here. They used to go to that French restaurant. Oh, what's the name? I think it's in the next block.
Oh. You mean up there where all that crowd is?
Why, yes. That's where it used to be.
Oh, honey, I don't want to get mixed up in all that mess. I mean, it looks like police cars and an ambulance.
Oh, Doug. I have a terrible feeling. Drive up there.
Well, honey, I can't. Look at it. The block is jammed.
That's their restaurant. And something's happened.
Now, Luce, baby, take it easy.
Can't you get any closer?
With all those cars in front of us?
The ambulance is pulling away. And there go the police cars.
Look, Lucy, I think you picked the wrong block. That's no French restaurant.
Why, no, it says Club Shenandoah.
Well, then let's go on to your apartment, okay?
No, Doug, we've got to find them.
But if you don't remember where that restaurant is...
I do remember. It was right here. The name's been changed, but this is the same place. We've got to go in and see if they're in there.
It's all right, folks. Excitement's over. Enjoy your supper. Have a round of drinks on the house. Music for dancing until 3. Ah, yes, sir. Table for 2?
Actually, we were just looking for some people.
Lucy, I don't think they'd be in a place like this.
Well, it's not the way it used to be, but you know how they are for going back to their old haunt.
Okay,
there's another room out this way. And if you find your friends, we'll be glad to give you a bigger table.
All right, thanks.
This doesn't look like their kind of crowd, but what if...
Honey, look, let's get out of here, all right?
Wait, that ambulance. What if it had something to do with them?
Your imagination is running wild. Now, come on, let's go.
Not yet.
Maybe you folks would like to stop at the bar?
No, thank you.
But if you haven't been to the Club Shenandoah before,
What happened here before we came in?
Oh, don't worry, lady. We run a nice place here. It was just an unfortunate accident. Could have happened anywhere.
Well, there was an ambulance. Someone must have been sick or had an accident.
That was just his tough luck.
Whose tough luck?
A man got hurt. Wait a minute. Who are you, lady? Somebody from the press?
No, but I have to know who was hurt and where they've taken him.
Well, how should I know?
Come on, Lucy, let's go.
No, it's important.
We just want to make sure it had nothing to do with our friends, you know?
Well, there were these two young fellas at a table over there. And to tell you the truth, I didn't like the looks of them from the time they come in.
Well, see, now you can relax. Lucy, they were young fellas. Now let's go over to the bar.
Not till I find out some more.
Lady, you must be an ambulance chaser.
What a dreadful thing to say. I hate violence.
Well, these two characters got violent.
You mean they had a fight?
They got in an argument. None of my business to know what it was about, but one of them picked up a steak knife.
I guess I don't want to hear any more.
Of course, I'm not sure he would have used it. That is, if the old guy hadn't interfered.
What old guy?
Well, maybe not old, but there were these two middle-aged men sitting at the next table.
What did they look like?
Oh, conservative-looking gentlemen. Nice, quiet customers.
Go on.
Well,
Go on.
You understand, I wasn't right there. I didn't see what actually took place. Not till somebody yelled, they were stabbed. Well, it seems these two older guys got very upset when they saw the young man waving a knife. So one of them jumped up and tried to stop him.
Oh, no.
Maybe it was a brave thing to do, but to my mind, it was pretty stupid.
Well, wouldn't you have tried to stop him if you'd been standing there?
No, I wouldn't have tried to knock the knife out of his hand the way that man did.
Oh.
But which one got hurt?
And the young fella just sort of automatically slashed out at the older guy.
Was he killed?
No, he wasn't dead when they took him away, if that's what you want to know.
Where have they taken him?
Well, to a hospital, of course. Well, I wouldn't know which one.
And the other man, I mean, the one who was with him, where's he?
The other older fellow went out with his friend.
Oh.
And the two young punks were hauled off by the police.
Well, you must have the names of these people.
Look, if you're not the police or the press, get off my back. You can read all about it tomorrow morning.
Please, we just want to know for sure.
Lady, I only work here. The proprietor's gone with the police to make a report. I tell you, I never saw any of these guys before. None of them were regulars.
This man who was slashed, surely you know what he looked like.
Sort of heavy set and bald.
My father. Drive straight to the hospital.
Honey, how can we? We don't know which hospital.
Well, where's the nearest one?
I haven't the slightest idea. Besides, that doesn't mean anything in New York. In emergencies, they go anywhere.
Well, then drive to the police station.
I don't know where that is.
Find it and hurry.
Lucy, please. You've gone off the deep end.
Well, how would you feel if it was your father?
Oh, what an idiot thing to say. They're both so close to me, I'd be undone if anything happened to either one of them.
But something has happened, Doug. I know it.
Oh, honey, you've jumped to a big and frightening conclusion without any proof.
Two men? One of them bald?
Yes, there could be thousands out on the town.
Where are you going? Oh, there's nothing we can do except get to a telephone and wait.
Lucy seems so certain that something has happened to her father. Of course, she's been influenced by a suggestion of disaster, further enhanced by an evening of fortune-telling. It is true, as Doug said, that Lucy was jumping to a hasty conclusion. But when two old soldiers are commemorating D-Day, might they not be the first to come to the defense of someone who appeared about to become a victim of battle? We have another premonition to be shared with you presently when I return with Act 3.
For a lot of people, a full-size car is a downright necessity. Buick understands that, which is why they build the Sabre, a car with lots of standard comfort and convenience, a big trunk, and honest-to-goodness elbow room for six. Buick LeSabre, free spirit in the family size.
Larry T. has just been released from prison. He wants to be given a new chance, but he needs our help. The God we worship expects us to work with Larry T. or anyone else who needs our time, our understanding. During our country's 200th birthday, join with others at your local church or synagogue and make plans and sacrifices to help relieve suffering. Welcome God to America's bicentennial. Practice what you pray. A message from Religion and American Life, the Ad Council, and the station.
My daddy loves me.
I went to the zoo once with him.
He tickles me a little.
It's because it's a long ride and it's fun to go with your dad.
And ate a lunch. We had fun and we played some games.
When he lies down on the rug, I hop on him and I punch him. Then he'd be silly to me.
We went to the park and we ate some french fries and some hamburger.
He does nice things and stuff.
He's a tickle monster sometimes.
It takes so little of you to give so much to them. Give your children everything. Give them your time.
He should love you and hug you forever.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Many a mathematician has taken delight in relating our actions to the movements of pawns in a game of chess. The game we are playing might be compared to the thoughts of a wakeful chess player who, after spending an evening at the board, is tossing and turning as he replays the moves to himself and speculates, what if I had done this? Or what if I'd moved in that direction? And right now, it's our turn to make the next move into the final act of our mystery drama.
Oh, Doug, I hope we're doing the right thing. I can't bear to think...
Give me your key, will you?
Look, you will call the police right away, won't
you? Just take it easy, Lucy.
The way I see it, it was just a technical maneuver.
Hey!
Not at all. If you have a piece of paper, I'll draw a map and I'll show you.
Dad! Uncle David!
Well... Good heavens, who'd you expect?
Hi, Dad, Uncle Gary. Wow, are we glad to see you.
Your enthusiasm is overwhelming.
Well, you're all right, aren't you, both of you?
Well, of course we're all right. But how did you know about our accident?
What? Accident? I'd call it more than that. The knife. Oh, Dad, why did you do it?
What knife? Why did I do what?
Well, the man in the restaurant said
whoa,
that you did...
What's the matter with you two kids?
They told us at the Club Shenandoah.
Club Shenandoah? Where's that?
But Gary, that's the place we didn't go to.
Oh, the terrible-looking spot that used to be Monsieur Henry's.
Yes, weren't you there?
That honky-tonk? We took one look and then found a nice quiet spot over on Madison Avenue. But, Dad, Uncle Gary did say something about an accident.
Oh, a minor skirmish in a taxicab.
You weren't hurt.
Well, I had a bloody nose.
And I got a crick in my neck.
But what's that to a couple of old war horses?
Now, come on, you long-faced characters. This is an evening for celebration.
It certainly is.
I think I'll hang these bells on that branch up there. Oh, I do love Christmas. And, Doug, when we have our own house...
Ah, that's exactly what I was thinking, Lucy. And when is that going to be?
Soon. But I had to be with Dad these past months with Mother gone, especially at Christmas.
I know.
You could have gone home. It was nice of you to stay. Pop appreciates it.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere except with you.
Oh, let's set a date, Doug.
Now you're talking. Got any specific date in mind?
What else but June 6th?
How can we have a wedding on the one day our dads go off for their private reunion?
Well, who said anything about a wedding?
You mean you'll do it my way? No fanfare, just a justice of the peace?
Exactly. We'll make it our day, not theirs.
Oh, honey, you are terrific.
Hello? Yes? Yes? Oh, no, where? Oh, but why shouldn't I be worried? Of course, I'll be right there.
Hey, what was that all about?
It's Dad. He's in the hospital.
But who were you talking to? What happened?
Well, that was Dr. Daniels. He said not to worry, but... Dad, he's had a heart attack, and he's in St. John's Hospital.
Oh, honey.
He's going to die, Doug. I know he's going to die.
Now, Lucy, stop that. I'm taking you to the hospital. Let's go. Now, promise you will sound cheerful, Lucy. You heard Dr. Daniels.
I can't get it out of my mind.
Now, forget your premonitions. Dr. Daniels said your dad is in better shape than either one of us, and that if he takes it easy, he can live to be 100.
Oh, okay. Dad?
Well, come in, sweetie. I'm sorry to pull a stupid stunt like this on Christmas Eve.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Oh, Dad, how can you say that?
Well, I guess I've just been working too hard. Doc says after a few days' rest, I'll be back in top form.
I'm going to stay here with you.
Nonsense. From the looks of the nurses around here, I'm going to have a ball.
Uncle Gary, I'm going to call my folks for Christmas. Shall I tell Dad that you're in the hospital?
You tell him just one thing, my boy, that I'll see him on D-Day.
Lucy, where's your dad?
Why, he's at work, of course. What are you doing here this time of day?
I thought he might have heard the news before I did. Have you had the radio on?
No, I've been vacuuming, doing my spring cleaning.
I tried at every payphone along the way, but the lines were all tied up. Let me use your phone, huh?
Calm down, Doug. What's the matter?
A bomb. They said it went off in the executive offices.
What executive offices? What are you talking about?
Oh, busy signals. Again, it's no use. I was out on the road. The report came through on the car radio. A bomb in Des Moines, in Dad's bank.
Not your father.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
But you don't know. What was the rest of the report? Well, look, I'll turn on the radio.
No, please don't. I want to get it straight from the source. I tried the bank and the paper and the police.
Didn't you call your home?
How? How could I do that to Mother?
Well, you must call her, Doug. Dial her direct right now.
No, wait a minute. I got another idea. Hello? Dad? Well, yes, on the car radio. I was out of the office. I've been trying desperately to reach you. Are you all right? Oh, thank God. Well, yes, as long as you're okay, that's all that matters.
Give him all my love.
Lucy sends love. Right. Okay, Dad, goodbye. Whew, boy.
You see? You should have taken the advice you gave me. Don't jump to conclusions.
Well, I know, but this was such a near thing, honey. He has a cold. Mom made him stay home today. He'd been trying to reach me to tell us not to worry. And he said to tell your dad he'd see him on D-Day.
Well, old buddy, it's the 15th of May, and time for us to make some plans.
You bet, Gary. Where'll it be this time?
Well, I'm for keeping the destination a secret.
You mean from our ever-loving families?
Mm-hmm. Don't you agree?
Sure do. How about getting away from all civilization?
Well, it suits me. Any ideas?
Yep. I got it, dandy. What about up at the lake? That Wisconsin fishing lodge where we went one summer.
Hey, that's beautiful. But it's pretty inaccessible without a private plane.
We'll get one.
You still flaunting that pilot's license?
You better believe. If you'll come more than halfway, we can rent a plane in Chicago.
That's great.
We better meet on the 5th, if you can get away.
Nothing's going to stop me. I'll see you at the airport in Chicago about 10 o'clock that morning.
You're just in time for lunch.
One whole week of glorious vacation. And you know, I didn't tell a soul that we're getting married tomorrow.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a surprise to anybody.
Least of all our dads.
Oh, Doug, I'll be so relieved when tomorrow's over.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, honey, I don't mean us. It's just that, well, once this reunion has passed, there'll be nothing to worry about.
Oh, if you mean the computer, I've got plenty to worry about when I get back to the office. They're accusing me of breaking the darn thing.
I hope it never works again.
Lucy, love, computers are the way I earn my our living.
Not by turning them into fortune-telling.
No, not fortune-telling, but a chance to open up the whole future so we'll know which way to go.
Not if the future only lives...
Don't say it, Lucy. I'll admit the machine must have had some bugs in it. But ever since that day, the tape has come out blank.
You were tampering, Doug. Trying to turn it into a human brain.
Superhuman, you mean? That's what's so eerie.
Some kinds of medicine are too strong to take.
Honey, how can a computer know that?
It can't, silly.
This one did. It behaved as though we'd gone one step too far.
Oh, look, I'd like to forget it.
Oh, so would I, at least for the next 7 days. It's our time to celebrate. So, cheers.
Oh, you sound like our dads.
Did your old man get off on schedule?
Yes, early this morning, before I was up.
And still the big secret about where he was going?
Yes, but I happen to know he had an airplane ticket to Chicago.
Uh-oh, you cheated. No one was supposed to know. But Chicago, I don't know. That seems like an odd place for them to have a reunion.
Especially since he asked me to help him find his fishing rod. Well, lunch is ready. Come on.
How about a little background music, huh? I'll turn on the radio.
Why is it that you can always get a station with music while all I ever get is...
We bring you a special news bulletin.
Uh-oh. Shall I try again?
No, leave it on. Let's eat.
A report has just come in of the crash of a private plane in an Illinois wheat field. Details are not available at the moment, except that a farmer allegedly saw a small green plane flying low. Later heard an explosion. And now a fire is spreading rapidly over a section of his property... out of control.
Mm. Hey, this is it good, is Lucy. How'd you fix this chicken?
Well, it's a new recipe. It's good, isn't it?
Oh, it's great.
I have just been handed an update on that plane crash. Checking with the Chicago airport, we have been told that a small green Cessna took off from there this morning.
Hey, you know, Dad used to have a green Cessna.
But he hasn't had an airplane in years.
Well, I know, but he's still Lucy,
to the scene of the accident,
this report is coming from Chicago.
Oh, it couldn't.
And here is still a further report on the tragedy. We do not know the names of the victims, but it has been established that the plane had two occupants. The pilot, who was known to airport officials as the flying banker from Des Moines, and a male passenger.
Oh, Lucy.
Repeat. The pilot, who was known to airport officials as the flying banker from
Des Moines. That lake in Wisconsin.
And a male passenger. We will bring you further developments as received by the newsroom. It is assumed that both men have perished.
Dear God.
Oh, no, this time it really happened. There can't possibly be any doubt.
And absolutely no way that we can help them.
That damn computer. It knew. It knew, you see. It knew there would be no reunion.
But I'm glad it was wrong. Now will you believe that computers don't know everything?
It was right, Lucy. It said...
It said one of them would die. But both of them? It's better this way.
Better?
Well, they were closer than brothers. And after all they went through together over the years.
Yes. Yes, I suppose if they'd had their choice, it's what they would have wanted.
We interrupt again to bring you further information on that plane crash in Illinois. Names will not be released until after the next of kin have been notified. But our report goes on to say that, incredible as it seems, there is one survivor.
Doug!
Which one? Ah, but that is not our story. Two men met in a moment of violence when either could have died. But both were spared that time until finally, for one, came the inevitable. Why is an accident fatal to this person while that one is spared? Some say predestination. But how many times it seems that a whim of fate makes a split-second change of direction if... Tragedy? No. But mystery? Yes. The mystery of the universe. I'll be back in a moment.
When a storm's been brewing, whose weather bureau helps your weather bureau give you an early warning?
Who got all of the world's pilots and control towers to speak English so you can land safely no matter where you fly?
Who's just about wiped out smallpox so your kids may never need a vaccination? And who set the standards of purity on the imported food you eat?
Who helps you in dozens of ways you never dreamed of? The United Nations. Find out what the UN's been doing to help you.
Send for the free UN booklet. Write United Nations Association, Box 475, New York 10017. That's United Nations Association, Box 475, New York 10017. There's always been a U in the UN. A public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
Some predictions turn out to be true, but it has never been proved that this is anything but happenstance. So I urge you to refrain from looking into a clouded crystal ball and look forward to a long and happy life. For no one, not even a scientifically programmed computer, can cope in advance with an unanswerable question. Our cast included Robert Dryden, Jennifer Harmon, Ken Harvey, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You read that folder you're carrying on me, didn't you?
Cover to cover. It reads like a bestseller.
And you know what I'm carrying inside my chest. The medic laid it out. A real bum ticker. I may never get off that island we're headed for. Now, Hart, give me a break, eh? No. Give my kid a break, will you? I swear, you can't get hurt.
What's the message?
Just remember, you can be replaced.
That's all?
That's all.
What's the catch? Why me? Why pay all that dough? And any of your boys could get the same word to him and throw a hell of a lot bigger scare into him than I could.
Oh, no, buddy. That's the whole point. That's just the point.
I don't get it.
You will when you see Howard Marsden.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by your Singer Sewing Center. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for variable cloudiness and cool with chance of a few showers tomorrow and Friday. The highs on Thanksgiving Day in the mid-40s, lower 40s on Friday, lows in the upper 30s. In downtown Seattle, currently 45 degrees, 44 at the airport. The barometer steady at 29.67.
With bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News, next, it's 11 o'clock.
CBS News, a jury in Sacramento, California, has found Lynette Frohm guilty of trying to assassinate President Ford. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The verdict came following 2.5 days of deliberations. Ms. Frohm could face a life prison sentence. That's the maximum penalty. The defendant, a follower of convicted mass murderer Charles Manson, pointed a loaded .45 caliber pistol at the president on his visit to Sacramento September 5th. The defense argued that Ms. Frohm did not intend to kill Mr. Ford, but was after publicity. Defense attorney John Verga was asked about a possible appeal.
I'm certain that an appeal will be filed. Absolutely, an appeal will be filed. The normal situation would be that I would file a notice of appeal and then probably another attorney would be appointed to handle the appeal because there are attorneys who do appellate work, which I don't do. It would be based on the matters that have been already raised in the record, plus any other matters that another lawyer might see in there that he would want to raise on appeal.
John Verga, defense attorney for Lynette Frohm. Judge Thomas McBride says she will be sentenced on December 17th. More news in a moment.
Most appetizers you eat, but there's one appetizer you drink, Dubonnet.
Before that's time to say, I'll have a glass of Dubonnet before a meal by day or night. Dubonnet is always right before, yeah, before. It's the time.
Dubonnet is an appetizer, a wine you drink before meals, before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's right for your appetite. Whether you serve it straight, on the rocks with a twist or soda, the distinctive taste of Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course.
Before, yeah, before, it's the time.
Product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Mayor Abraham Beam says he is relieved that President Ford has reversed himself and ended his opposition to federal assistance to New York City. In a nationally broadcast news conference Wednesday night, the president said he would go along with short-term loans of $2.3 billion each year through fiscal 1978. The assistance proposal must clear Congress. It appears to have a good chance in the House, but could face at least some opposition from Republicans in the Senate. In his news conference Wednesday evening, President Ford made some statements about U.S. intelligence operations. Connie Chung has a report.
President Ford said the U.S. must undertake foreign covert intelligence operations in many cases for its own security, but he said he will not tolerate any U.S. involvement in assassination attempts during his administration.
I have issued specific instructions to the U.S. intelligence agencies that under no circumstances should any agency in this government, while I'm president, participate in or plan for any assassination of a foreign leader.
The president also ruled out any domestic intelligence activities which he said would violate the law involving the right of privacy of any individual in the U.S. Connie Chung, CBS News, at the White House.
At least 25 people were injured Wednesday night when an American Airlines jumbo jet swerved over Lake Michigan to avoid a collision with another airliner. Most of the injuries were minor. The American plane was bound from Chicago to Newark, New Jersey, with about 200 people on board. It made an emergency landing in Detroit. Passengers said the inside of the plane was a shambles after the evasive action was taken. The other plane was a TWA jetliner. There is no explanation yet of why the two planes came so close to each other. Israel has announced that a military transport plane has crashed into a mountain in the Sinai Desert, killing all 20 people aboard. The plane was an American-built C-130. Authorities said the pilot apparently made a navigational error. The Commerce Department reports the nation enjoyed a hefty $1.1 billion trade surplus during October. It was the third highest monthly surplus on record. It now appears the nation will complete the year with a large surplus compared with a modest trade deficit in 1974. CBS News continues in a moment.
Lefty Drew, pro bowler. How do you spell relief?
When I have heartburn, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids.
Mrs. Peterson, homemaker.
For acid indigestion, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaid spells relief. Each Rolaid consumes 47 times its weight in excess stomach acid. Bubba Johnson, mechanic. How do you spell relief?
For gas, R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaid spells relief. Use only as directed.
It's Christmas 1799, and we're in Washington celebrating the first Christmas in the White House. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. Come along on our next bicentennial special, American Christmas Down the Years. We'll take you to the early days when gifts were made and given by hand and bring you up to date as we charge and send our greetings. Listen for American Christmas Down the Years, 30 special broadcasts the weekend of December 6th and 7th on the CBS Radio Network.
13 demonstrators, including Daniel and Philip Berrigan, were arrested Wednesday after they dug symbolic graves on the White House lawn. They were demonstrating against nuclear weapons. The Berrigans are former Catholic priests who became leaders of the anti-Vietnam War movement. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time now is 6 past 11.